An executive order by Governor Whitmer to stay home. Coronavirus cases and deaths continue to climb in Michigan. Families learning to work from home, learn from home, and stay in place. Here at Northern Michigan University, classes had already been moved online. The new order from the governor meant the closing of buildings, but not all, as students remain on campus in residence halls and apartments. Up next, NMU President Fritz Erickson and NMU Chief of Police Mike Bath join us via Zoom as we talk through the university's response. Welcome to Media Meet. I'm your host, Elizabeth Peterson. We're operating with a very small staff here today, taking all the necessary precautions to put this show together. It's just me in the studio, and today's guests are joining us via Zoom. They are NMU President Fritz Erickson and NMU Chief of Police Mike Bath. I want to thank you both for joining us. I know these last couple of weeks, of course, they've been very busy for you, both information coming through the state, the federal government, information being updated and changing almost daily, if not by the hour sometimes. First, talk to us about what it's been like for you managing the response of the university, making decisions that affect so many people, students, parents, faculty, staff. President Erickson, let's start with you. Talk about that moment when you realized this would be life-altering.
You know, we've been so busy and working so hard that it's hard to even think back 2 weeks ago. Two weeks ago seems almost like a lifetime ago for us. What we've been working on since then has been trying to adapt to a very, very fluid situation. And that's really what's defined this whole issue. It's what's defined our whole response to it. It's what's defined how we continue to look forward to the future.
Police Chief Bath, what about for you? What has that been like, that moment when you realized that this was going to change campus for quite some time?
It was pretty daunting task when you start thinking about we're a city within a city and the amount of people that we have and the amount of infrastructure that we need to maintain in order to keep the university operating under the guidelines of the various guidance that we were getting from the federal, state, and local authorities. We worked very closely with the health department, and our medical director, Dr. Kirkpatrick, spent quite a bit of time trying to find out what are the recommendations for if we were to have somebody test positive or be under suspicion, and trying to figure out how we were going to manage that here on campus. To echo President Erickson, we were talking about that here in my office today. It seems like it's been a month we've been working on this, and the executive order just came out this week. So lots of work going on, lots of things to keep going. But ultimately, at the end of the day, our primary responsibility is the safety of our faculty, staff, students, and the local community, because many of our students live in the local community, and we're working very closely to keep everybody safe.
So as we are today, the university remains open just to students, and that does mean that some of those critical services need to remain on campus. Over the past couple of weeks, we've seen things change almost daily. Talk about where we are today. What is the situation right now on campus?
So we're still open and working very hard and making sure that, as Mike said, that our faculty, staff, and students are safe. We're following the guidelines from the CDC, from the Marquette County Health Department, and certainly from the governor's office. And we've worked on ways of implementing those that allows our university to be able to continue to move forward, our students to be able to continue to be able to work towards graduation. I feel particular responsibility for our seniors to make sure that we do everything we can that we get them to graduation. And so that the effort to move the institution forward continues at full speed.
And I know things like dining, that's obviously you still have to feed the students here on campus. You've made some decisions in regards to the residence halls. So some employees still are coming onto campus, correct?
Yes, yes. The vast majority of our employees now are able to work from home. And I've spoken to a lot of our employees directly and through email. And I'm as impressed as can be the work effort that everyone seems to be putting in from their safe home locations. But we still do have critical areas that have to be open. For example, dining. When the governor's directive, executive order came out on closing bars and restaurants, we had to look very carefully at how that would affect us. And being able to find ways in which we could still feed a large number of people and follow really that directive both to the letter, but also very much the spirit of it. And I would give an enormous shout out to our dining hall staff who have found a way to let students into the dining hall, to load up boxes of food, hot food, be able to have healthy food, and then be able to take it back to their dorm rooms and so forth to be able to eat. And those kinds of activities have continued throughout this whole crisis.
Elizabeth, one of the things we've done is we've locked all of our buildings down and had a pretty comprehensive list of criteria as to who could enter campus or enter the buildings, and worked very hard with the vice presidents and the deans and department heads in each of those areas to get just a small number of individuals that have to be on campus to provide our critical needs. And keeping in mind that anything outside of that has to be approved. We have an approval process, so they're not just coming in to water plants or just coming in to get away from being cooped up at home for a few days. But I'll echo what President Erickson said. You know, we have a number of people that are working from home, and I've talked to quite a few of them going through this other process, and they're adapting. They're making it work. I talked to one yesterday, and they said they sit down at the computer in their home, and pretty soon it's 4 hours later. They're getting things done that need to get done to keep the operation going and to keep the students and faculty and staff safe.
Absolutely. Everyone is doing a great job at being flexible right now. The university, it has an emergency response team. So a group of campus leaders trained for different scenarios. Mike, perhaps you could talk us through the makeup of this group. I know that you're co-chair with Cindy Pavala. Who else is a part of this team?
So the president is the main person for the team. We give guidance to the president to make the ultimate decisions, but it's comprised of the vice presidents for each division: facilities, human resources, risk management, and members of the president's office. And we meet and talk about scenarios. You know, we try to figure out what would happen if. And I can guarantee you we wouldn't have dreamed this one up. I don't think anybody would have sat down at a table and thought this one and all the different nuances that have happened and the guidance that executive orders that have come out both at the federal and state level. But we also then have what we call our B team, which is the next level down. And then we pull from those. So for instance, this one is deals directly with a health issue. We bring our medical director into that group. We brought housing, we brought dining representatives, because those were the two areas, housing and dining, that we needed to keep operational. And then we sit down, we met pretty regularly, we're still meeting regularly, and we're actually doing it on conference calls and Zoom now for the most part. But we talk through what needs to get done and how we're going to operate in keeping everybody safe. Now, keep in mind, one of the things that's been interesting with this one, and I'll talk a little bit about some of the past ones we've had, This one is more of an ongoing one. So decisions that were made on Monday changed Tuesday, could have changed Tuesday night. I think there's a number of us that on our speed dials, we've worn holes in our phones because we're out constantly on the phone trying to figure out what about this, what about that. Working very closely with our community members, we've included the health department in the hospital in our conference calls. We have a group that meets every Friday to just get updates on, you know, where we're going at that particular time and keeping everybody informed. This team's been around for a long time, and obviously members have changed when people leave and new people get hired. We have a training protocol where everybody goes through some of the FEMA training so that we're all kind of talking apples to apples, and we work through the different scenarios.
Mike, how long have you been with public safety?
I've been in the department for 20 years and 10 years as the chief of police. So been around for a few of the major incidents that we've had here on campus.
How does this compare to those responses and those situations in the past? What is the magnitude of this like versus what you've experienced?
So the other ones that we've had, one particular was in 2011. We had a threat on campus where we shut the campus down, evacuated all the faculty, staff, and students that didn't live on campus, and then followed up a week later with President Obama's visit. So some of the things that we had used in our planning for the threat, we were able to then use for the president's visit. One of the big differences is we're not sure when this is going to end. You know, there's a lot of unknowns in this one, where a lot of other incidences, you have a start and a finish. Another one that we were heavily involved with was the Pine Street apartment fire this last summer. We provided some sheltering. Some of the planning that went into some of the earlier ones we utilized in that one. One of the things that our group does is we work very closely with the local authorities, you know, great relationship with all the law enforcement agencies, the hospital, EMS, the public schools. There were things in the 2011 incident that we learned and worked very closely afterwards with the public schools to come up with some planning so that if something like that happened again or something similar to that, we had some plans in place. You know, like I said earlier, this isn't one that I'm not sure any of us would have dreamed up to the magnitude that we're at. We've, you know, back in 2008-09, we were working on the pandemic planning back then. So we utilized some of that material as we were going through this. One of the other things that the 2011 one we had to work through was succession planning within the university. So let's say President Erickson was down in Lansing, okay? So we need to have somebody on site here that we need information from. And so we always have a second each of our areas in case somebody is not here, somebody's trained to be able to fill that role. And we do some of our training that way too. So, and then each department does some emergency management planning. We've asked all the division leaders to at least once a year to sit with their staff and kind of talk through their plan, and especially a communication plan. You talked about it earlier about communication, and I can say one of the things we learned in 2011 and some of the other ones is people want to know what's going on. And I think we've done a really good job of keeping everybody informed as to where we are at that point. One of the things that's a little bit different with this one is it's changing so much. It's so fluid that a message at 10 a.m. could be completely different as a message at 3 p.m. And we've got a very good system in place to communicate that. Unfortunately, you can't answer every individual question, but we're answering questions to the best that we can so that it covers a lot of those questions. But we're all getting individual emails and we're dealing with it. Cindy Pavlar in the president's office has been kind of our clearinghouse to make sure that the message is the same. That's another thing that you got to be real careful of when you're planning, is that you have one message. You don't have a bunch of individuals trying to answer questions, and then the answers aren't the same. And I think we've done a really good job of filtering those through one area so we have a consistent message.
And I do want to just give a quick reminder to those who may have just joined us or those listening on Public Radio 90. We're here talking about NMU's response to COVID-19 and the number of executive orders from the governor. Joining us, NMU President Fritz Erickson and NMU Police Chief Mike Bath. Thank you again both for joining us. We're talking right now specifically about the emergency response team. President Erickson, talk about the work that you've done and the work that you've seen this team do. You have a long history in higher education. Obviously, you put together a team like this and you hope that you don't have to rely on them the way that you have been the last couple of weeks. What has that all been like?
Well, we've been very fortunate to have such a talented group of individuals led by Mike Bath, all of our vice presidents. Everyone on the university has contributed greatly to this issue. And we've asked people for their opinions, and we've had some pretty direct kinds of discussions and been able to come to decisions that I think have really helped guide us in a lot of different and, of course, very positive kinds of ways with this. And so I said the other day to our board, I said, I couldn't imagine trying to deal with this level of crisis without the talented group of individuals that we have on our team. And that goes from the administration through the faculty and staff and very much our students. Our students have played a very important role in how we've responded to all of the issues that are going on.
Very much in the middle of this, assessing the situation every day. But in the past couple of weeks, have there been lessons for you, some takeaways that that you've learned?
Well, one of the lessons that we had coming in that's just been reinforced has been the real importance of honest, straightforward communications. Not pulling any punches, but telling people exactly what's going on, why we're doing things that we're doing, even when people may not always agree with the decisions that we're making. We felt it was very important to be open, to be transparent, to respond to people. I spend so much time each day writing notes back to people, communicating back, taking ideas from folks. A lot of ideas on how we move forward have come from people that have said, hey, I've got an idea for how we could do this a little bit better, a little bit differently, how we can continue to support our students. So the communication has been just an absolute critical aspect of this whole process.
That has to be somewhat of a challenge because you're talking to so many different groups. You have students, you have parents, you have faculty, you have staff, you have the community. So how do you handle that? How do you make sure that the message for each of them is delivered properly, timely, and in the right manner?
Well, there are some differences. What parents are interested sometimes is a little bit different than what students are interested in. And so we sit down and we talk about what are the various groups that we need to communicate to? What is the best way to get information to them? But if we're going to make a mistake, the mistake we're going to make is we're going to provide too much. And we've held to that, I think, very well. And so our entire team has been very responsive to that very basic idea.
And, you know, we talk about the emails and the messaging that have gone out, and I will say that I've received a lot of them, and they have come and been very helpful and resourceful. And then you took it a step further, and you did a virtual town hall where you went live and allowed people to ask their questions while they were watching. I moderated that with you, and I received a lot of feedback, very positive from people, and they appreciated how open you were, and you just spoke. Why was it important for you to take it that next step and open yourself up to that?
Well, again, I think it's part of how you how we work on this issue together. And you can't work on it together if, you know, it's just one person sitting in a room. You know, I'm sitting in my basement right now doing this. It would be wholly inappropriate for me to try and just hold on to everything. And so we really appreciate the opportunity to do the town hall, really enjoy it. In fact, kind of missing sitting there with you during this one. I think it's easier to have the kind of conversation if you're face-to-face. But we are all adapting. We're all looking for ways to make this successful. We are all looking to contribute to get this crisis over and for our lives to get back to the normal flow of how we live.
I think we can all agree with that. Mike, you sent out an email the day after the stay home order by the governor was made, and the email essentially reinforced her message saying, this is not a recommendation, this is an order. That means students, you cannot gather in groups of 10. You mentioned a couple instances out at Little Presque Isle and Presque Isle where officers had to give warnings to students, reminding them of that order. How have things been going since that email? What are the issues that you're dealing with currently?
So after the email went out, it seems to have taken care of itself. We're still patrolling the campus, still patrolling around the community, and keeping an eye for larger groups. We had a situation just prior to the executive order that we were hearing that we were having some small groups on campus, and I actually sent out it was on a Friday night, a text alert just to the students, reminding them of social distancing. And I had kind of a neat story. There were RDs in the dorms, and there were some small groups of individuals, and they all looked at their phone when the text came, and they all moved 6 feet apart. So it worked. We had a nice day on the day that the executive order came out, and we a lot of people were trying to get outside, and that is actually part of the order, is allows you to get out and hike and walk and walk a dog or whatever. But you got to do it by yourself or one or two people and in the same household or in the same dorm. But practice good social distancing. I think if there's any message that we were trying to get out is social distancing, it has the potential, and we hope is going to slow this down. And we're hoping that everybody abides by that. One of the reasons why I'm in my office, Dr. Erickson is in his basement, and you're in the studio by yourself, is we're practicing what we're telling people. And we're trying to do that. I've made some adjustments here in our department to help minimize the overlap, because obviously we're going to we continue to work, and trying to practice that social distancing the best we can.
So, how many students remain on campus?
We're looking at right now about between 700 and 800 students. That's been a very important part of what we've done. We received so many comments from parents that said, please keep my son and or daughter on campus. It's safer for them. We've received so many comments from students that frankly have said, I don't have any place else to go. And we want to make sure that when we, you know, that we provide all of the safe services that we can. And so I'm very proud of our housing department. I'm very proud of our staff for finding ways to stay open, to keep us moving forward, and to keeping our university and broader community safe.
And you have said that you will continue to keep those residence halls open for as long as you are able to, correct?
Yeah, we have no intent on of kicking anybody out of the residence halls or the apartments or any of those. I think the only thing would change that if we had a directive from the Marquette County Health Department. All the decisions that we've made have been in great consultation with the health department and with the CDC. And unless or until they tell us that we're required to vacate those residence halls, we're going to stay open.
And, you know, this is certainly a time of uncertainty. No one really knows what the next day is going to bring. But I know I've been touched, especially this past week, just seeing people come together, helping their neighbor, thanking essential workers, virtually spending time with loved ones. We live in a community that supports one another, and you don't have to look very hard to see some of the good. I was just curious. I think it's a great way to end the show. Has there been a moment for each of you that helped you get through this a light for you?
Well, for me, it's been the emails that I've received from faculty who talked about how they've been able to figure out keeping our students moving forward and the creativity and the innovation that they're applying to online learning and to remote learning has been absolutely extraordinary. And as an academic at heart, I know how difficult that is to change up your courses right in the middle of a semester to do a 90-degree turn and do it differently. And to hear the stories of our faculty and the compassion that they are working with our students, how they are making this work, for me, is very inspiring.
And Mike, what about for you?
I've received many emails very similar, thanking us for keeping people safe. And an officer told me yesterday he was down by the dining area and had a couple of students approach him, stayed 6 feet away. He pointed that out to me. But the students said thank you to the officer for keeping us safe, and thanks for the university. I guess the other thing that's been kind of neat for me is seeing how the community has pulled together. The K-12, you know, they're still feeding the kids, and they're working through those parts of it. Just helping elderly. We've got some neighbors down the road that individuals are baking things and putting it on their porch, ringing the doorbell and leaving and shopping. I think, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel, I hope it's soon, but I think at the end of the day, we're all going to be better for how we've reacted to this and how we're learning to adapt, not just in the classroom, but in society as in general.
Absolutely. And there are so many of those moments, and those bright spots are things to focus on sometimes on these darker days. I want to thank both of you for joining us today via Zoom from the basement, from your office. President Erickson, Police Chief Bath, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you both. I also want to thank those of you watching and those listening on Public Radio 90 for WNMU's Media Meet. I'm Elizabeth Peterson. Stay safe, stay healthy.
Produced by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television, in studios located in Elizabeth and Edgar Hardin Hall.